We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, Patriots get ready for a Thanksgiving night game out in Minnesota. 8:20 kickoff. Obviously, you're going to need this offensive line. And I think when we saw on Sunday David Andrews walking off the field, especially when we heard Ian Rappaport's after the game tweet that said that he's feared to have suffered a serious thigh injury that could end his season, source said. More testing determined the extent, but good news is not expected. He followed it up yesterday afternoon, I believe at like 4:30. It says, after a battery of tests of his leg injuries, the chance David Andrews is able to return late in the season, potentially for the playoffs, source said, not guaranteed, but there is a chance. And then there was today. Because Mark Daniels tweeted out that Andrews is incredibly tough. He suffered a thigh injury on Sunday, underwent an MRI yesterday. The results came back and showed it was something he wanted to attempt to play through, per source. And we see the injury report, and David Andrews was a limited participant. So, I mean, the only guy that didn't practice was Isaiah Wynn, so he's dealing with some issues too, but there's a chance this guy actually plays on Thursday?
And, I mean, casual fans might be listening to this and not feeling like, oh, it's an offensive lineman, like, big deal. Well, your offensive line has been the biggest headache of the entire season. And when he went out, like, nothing against Ferentz, but Ferentz got blown through the first, like, I think the first series that he was out there for a sack on Mac Jones. Mac Jones was sacked 6 times, and there seems to be at least some kind of link between the way that Cole Strange performs and whether or not David Andrews is out there, because he's a rookie and it seems like he's looking to him for most of the direction. So this is important. It's strange to see, once again, just like the Mac Jones injury, so much disconnect between the initial reports of how severe the injury is and then to see him even just out there in practice and now listed as a limited participant. Like, there is a major disconnect there.
Well, can we just real quickly play doctor?
Sure.
Because, like, when I look at this, I sit there and go, all right, he gets the MRI, he gets the x-ray, there's no structural damage, there's no broken bone, so it's like a massive contusion. It's a big, giant bruise.
Have you ever had a contusion?
Oh, I've had plenty of them.
I mean, that, like, kept you out of something.
Well, probably.
I was
probably,
told it was a contusion probably. It ended up being a broken leg.
Well, yeah, he got some wrong information, which is, why didn't you just have an MRI? Why didn't they just tell you that?
But it took a couple weeks for, like, the stress fracture for the calcium to show up, like it usually does.
So they did their job that you're just weird.
Well, no, they just right away, they're like, it's just a bruise. You're ready to go.
In a weird body.
On my shin, I'm like, I can't walk on it. Then found out 2-3 weeks later, I'm like, can we take another look at it? And they're like, oh, actually, you know what? It's broken.
I will say this.
It's the same thing, though. We call it the same thing. No, I got a freaking broken leg.
This is the, if he's going to have this type of injury, so I would feel like he's not very far behind than what everybody else is doing. They didn't practice yesterday. They probably just did a lot of film study, install. Here's the players we're going to run. Kind of similar to what we did last week. Basically, you're having another glorified walkthrough today, and tomorrow you're getting on the plane. You're leaving town.
Well, we'll just see if he's able to play tomorrow. But I think if nothing else, it's good news. Because you kind of thought the way it looked walking off the field that you might be done for the season. But it looks like it's, you know, if he doesn't play Thanksgiving, he'll probably be ready next Thursday, right, for Buffalo.
He looked devastated coming off the field.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he couldn't even walk, but just his expression. He's, like,
brutal.
Shaking his head to fans, like, nope, it is done.
Yeah,
so
no,
Isaiah Wynn is probably going to be out.
Yep.
Trent Brown will take his spot, which used to be his starting spot, but then they were, because he was basically benched.
Which we still don't know exactly what happened there, unless you've gotten some new information.
No, I just said he performance-based, man. Maybe. Or it's either performance-based or, you know, you're getting real chippy with your offensive coaches.
Or there was this stuff floating around that he was sick. They were trying Isaiah Wynn at that position Why was he suited up as far back as Wednesday?
Why was he suited up?
For offensive line,
that's
been
atrocious.
Well, it was on
his social media, though, that his sister was sending him, like, a care package.
For an O-line that's been really bad, and it's not that he's been, like, one of the great left tackles in the game, but he's had his moments. Don't get me wrong. He hasn't been great, but he's been pretty consistent. Like, to look at his play and say, yeah, we're going to bench you for Isaiah Wynn, I don't think so. Sounds like, to me, Bill says coach's decision is some kind of discipline. Has to be. But now he's going to be back out there. In a game, you know, in a game against Minnesota, I want to play Tommy Curran because he was on with the guys today with Gresham Keefe, talking about the rest of the season and how he sees this one game here Thursday night.
If you look, the Patriots are 6-4, 7 games left. There are 5 on paper losses on the schedule, objectively speaking, by record and by resume, past resume. The Bills twice, the Dolphins once, the Vikings, and Cincy, which was your AFC Championship finalist. Give them a half. So there's 4.5 losses. The Patriots have to flip a game. And I think this might be an outstanding chance for them to flip a game and win one you don't expect them to. I think the Patriots can go to Minnesota against a defense that's not as good as what they've seen in the last 3 weeks against the Jets twice and the Indianapolis Colts and flip that game.
It would be a huge cushion if you were able to steal this game. And I say steal because you're not favored. You're getting 3 points here in this game. People think that Minnesota's going to win. They're going to bounce back against Dallas. But is this the best chance you have of winning some of those games that he's talked about?
No, you mentioned Dallas. So last week they ended up, so the Vikings played the Cowboys and they only scored 3 points. That was it, 3 points. So now they're coming home, Thanksgiving. They were embarrassed. They kind of like, people are doubting whether they're for real, calling them frauds. And now here comes the beat up, no offensive skill whatsoever, no real threat offensively. Here come the Patriots, right? And they're like, they're vaunted defense that's just destroying everybody in their path. This is a get-right game. This is a get-right game, and I feel like, okay, so fine. The defense is not as well, but your offense is still crappy. Like, your offensive line is still a mess. So you didn't turn it over back-to-back weeks. I get it. Great. I feel like you can build on that, and everybody's happy about it. But, man, this one would still kind of worry me, you know, but especially when you think about the skill position. You talk about the offense, right? They only scored 3 points with Jefferson, with Dalvin Cook, and with Hawkinson. What I would think, 3 of the toughest, if you collectively group those, like receiver, tight end, and back, forget about the quarterback, like the toughest position group that you're going to go against all year. Like, in my opinion, like if you look at, you know, Miami, first game of the season, Waddle and Tyreek Hill, hard to beat those guys, but Gesicki wasn't really involved. And if you go down the line, you haven't played Buffalo yet. Green Bay doesn't have any real receivers to talk about. This is the toughest challenge of the year for the defense. If you want to find out if they're for real, you want to find out if they really do have an elite quarterback, or sorry, defense, or if they just pick on the weak, you know, of the NFL, like then this is it. Mm. This is the test.
Christian, I totally agree with you. I will say, you know, the Vikings looked formidable against the Bills in that crazy, like, best game of the season so far. Their defense really sucked against the Cowboys. I mean, they could not tackle to save their lives. The amount of extra yardage that they got through the ground game against that Vikings defense because they couldn't finish a tackle is insane. And Kirk Cousins, like, Mac got the crap beat out of him on Sunday, but Kirk Cousins got sacked 7 times. I mean, I don't think that on the one side, the defense that you're going up against in the Vikings is much worse than the ones that you've seen in the last 3 games that you've played. But at the same time, like, I do think it's a good opportunity for the defense. Mm-hmm. It's a hard opportunity compared to what they've been going up against, which is just god-awful quarterbacks, and I don't think Kirk Cousins is that. But with the pass rush that you have right now, what Matthew Judon is doing, what Uche is doing, what Dietrich Wise is doing, like, I think that they have a good chance of just rattling Kirk.
All right, Patriot fans, is this the game you circle, the one that you can steal? I want to go to the calls here because Jackson in Boston brings up something that I agree with. Go ahead, Jackson.
Jackson. No. Yeah. Jackson, how can we steal a game with no offense?
All right, there we go.
We'll put him on hold, whatever.
So, like, question is,
great question, Jackson.
Yeah, how do you steal a game with no offense? And this is why I think Thursday Night Football is, like, I don't know really what to expect. That's why I'm so curious. I can't wait to watch this game. Because the last 3 weeks, you've gone up against offenses where their goal and they step on the field is not exactly to drive the ball downfield. It's not exactly to go get 7. It's about maybe get a couple first downs, don't turn it over, and play the, you know, and punt. You know, and just and play that type of defensive game. That's the only way we can win. Sam Ehlinger ain't doing anything. And Zach Wilson, we saw, isn't doing anything either. You're playing an offense, rather, that's going to try to score. That it's got some weapons like you talked about. And offensively, it's the weaker defense you've gone up against lately. But I don't even know what it looks like anymore with this team being able to put up 24 points offensively. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're capable.
That's kind of what we landed on. We landed
24
on,
points.
They've the most points that they've put up with Mac Jones under center this whole season has been 26. They've done that twice against the Ravens and the Colts. And
the Colts was
not really your offense doing the work there. And obviously that fourth quarter of the Ravens game was awful from an offensive standpoint. So if you can get to 24, I think we all agree that you have a good shot of winning.
Yeah, that Ravens game was like, you know, what does that look like again? You know, they were actually moving the ball. They were actually scoring. The offense actually looked really good. And then, you know, then Mac threw some interceptions in that fourth quarter. It was a nightmare. But for three quarters, you're like, okay. Like, can they get back to it? It's been forever since you've sort of seen that offense, especially under Mac Jones. So I ask you, Patriot fans, is this the one game you can steal? And if you do, how does it even look offensively? Like, how many points do they need to score to beat the Minnesota Vikings? We'll talk more about that next at 617-779-7937. Take some of your calls as well.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Patriot fans, is this the game the Patriots can steal here Thursday night? If they do, I know offensively they got to get going here a little bit. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Paul in Providence. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. So, Lou, I know in the past you've said that, you know, Bill as a head coach can get you maybe 1-2, possibly even 3 wins a year. Do you think that this might be one of those games on a short week where Bill steps up and puts in, you know, some kind of a plan, maybe getting a blueprint from a Dallas game that he actually can take this game and, you know, get him over the top for this game? And happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, I think he's a great coach, but as far as getting 2 or 3 wins, I think he surrounds himself with coaches that aren't any good anymore. And I think that hurts him. Can he work in a short week and beat this team, upset the Vikings? I don't know. After a bye, can he change the offense and make it look better? How'd it look on Sunday?
Didn't Sunday's game feel more like the kind of game that Bill stole?
Yes.
By scheming it up?
Or the first game.
I mean, the offense looked...
Both Jets games.
Bad, but he basically was a classic Bill Belichick wait around for the other team to puke on themselves.
I would say you've already got a few of them. Like the shutout against Detroit, that wasn't a great offense. It was all about defense. Like the two Jets games, the Colts games. Like, hey, this is the type of style of football I want to win.
I'm not saying already got a couple of those. It can't also be this game. I'm just saying I think we already have seen a little bit of that.
Well, I would say if you're going to steal a game, a couple things need to happen. One, you would need to catch the team that you're supposed to upset sleeping, right? They're reading their own press clippings. Everybody's talking about how good they are. It's Thanksgiving. Maybe they just want to get home and eat some turkey. Or maybe they had too much turkey before the game. Now they're all lethargic and sleepy. This isn't that scenario. I just feel like they're ready. They got embarrassed. They got beat down. I'm sure they want to prove. They probably look at this as an opportunity. Like, dude, listen, guys, we can really get back on track. This is the perfect opportunity. They're not going to score. They're not going to generate any points. So, yeah, their defense is pretty good. But, listen, if we just keep, you know, chopping wood and, you know, clawing our way out of this, we'll put 28 points. And we don't think they can put 13 up.
This is like the game you circle. I think a lot of people felt like they'd be 6-4, you know, maybe coming into this game, or 5-5, depending where you were. I'm sure 7-3, some of you. But this was the game. Right, like you had that week of 6-week span, you went 5-1. It's like, okay, here we go, Minnesota Vikings. You know, the better, you know, as far as the quarterbacks the rest of the way, I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr are like two worst quarterbacks you're going to face. So it's quality quarterbacks, you know, and it's weapons, it's good football teams. Let's see if the defense can still be dominant against a quarterback that's trying to score touchdowns, and see if the offense can put up, you know, more than 10 points.
This really has. It's more likely to be a blowout, embarrassing beatdown than it is to be an upset. I mean, what would you say? Like, what's more likely
Patriots?
I feel like it's more like, what's more likely, a complete beatdown of the Patriots at the hands of the Vikings at home?
Tell me what the score
loss.
Tell me what the score in the first quarter is.
in the first quarter, it's 17-3.
No.
Then it's a complete beatdown.
And then they come back, they get the double dip.
3-0 Vikings first quarter.
Well, I'm just saying, if it's close, it's, we said this before, this team has to kind of play on script. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A close game, get a lead, take the field goals, play defense, field position, whatever. Kind of on script. Like, if they're trailing by 10 and they're forced to kind of open it up and move the ball downfield, they could get ugly.
I'm starting to, like, buy into some of this possibility against the Vikings.
Oh, you're
Karen,
easy.
Karen Grigian updated this today. So we were talking earlier about some of Kirk Cousins' primetime issues.
Yeah.
And how they're actually not as bad as people make it out because he started out 0-9.
On Monday night
on
football.
Monday nights. Actually, it's pretty bad. So she wrote, statistically, Cousins stands out as the worst primetime quarterback in NFL history. His record now on Thursday nights is 3-5. Sunday night football is 4-4. Monday night football is 2-10. Mm-hmm. Overall, he's 10-19, and he's played on Thanksgiving once before, and that was a loss.
Yeah, that's great.
Hi, Karen. What's up, sexy mama?
I don't think Cousins is a bad quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. But I just think about the way that your pass rush, that your defensive front is playing right now. And if you can get in his head, you might stand a chance. I'm buying into it a little bit.
I mean, but you still got to score. You know,
yes,
again,
you do.
He threw the ball. He had two turnovers. He's like, oh, we just pick off Cousins a couple times. Well, he did that against the Bills, and they put up 33. So, you know, I know what the Cowboys did to him.
It's about, like, stopping them from moving down the field.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to some of your calls. How are you guys feeling about going into this Thursday night Thanksgiving 8:20 kickoff? Let's go to our guy, Joe, in the car. Go ahead, Joe.
Lou, what's going on? Christian, what's going on, guys?
Hello, Lou.
Courtney. Omega.
Courtney.
Courtney's not here.
Joe. Whoa, what's up with that?
Mago.
They sound alike. Hey, Christian, guess what? I bet $100 that you're going to beat Wiggins. The guy hasn't paid me yet. I told him, hey, you got to tell Fry to pay me. He says that you fixed it, that you fixed that thing.
How did I fix it? I won. I didn't fix it.
He was tampering with the jugs machine.
You made all the rules. You were making up all the rules. But anyway, I told him he got to Fry to pay me. But hey, Lou.
Yeah.
Hey, this team, right? I mean, when are we going to stop blaming Matt Patricia? I mean, all the blame's got to be on Belichick, all right? Belichick, this is Belichick's fault. It's not I keep hearing Matt Patricia judge, but well, guess what? Belichick's the one that got these guys over here. He's the one that put those guys in those positions. He's the one that, he sees it all. He oversees everything. I mean, Belichick, he's to blame for this. And as far as that game against the Jets, that was the worst game I've ever seen in my life. I mean, 3-3-0. I mean, come on. I fell asleep during that game, I think, three times. I can't believe it. I mean, this thing stinks. They're not going to beat Minnesota. And like you said, they got to put up at least 24 to 30 points, and I don't see that happen.
No, Joe, thanks for the call, buddy.
Hold on.
Courtney, you're right. Do you have anything?
Coco, what do you think?
So Coco says... now they have to put up 30 points?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have to
put up. Here it is crazy. Like, they are 6-4, right?
Yeah.
They do have a winning record. Mm-hmm. Third in the AFC East. Mm-hmm.
That is shocking.
Well, I'm just thinking. Thanks, Coco. Coco Mega. Yeah, I feel like you guys.
Everybody just chill out for a second.
You don't sound anything like Courtney.
Not even a little bit.
Not even
My
a tiny
voice
bit.
My voice is a lot worse.
It's and you have this crazy Tasmanian devil like you know issue going on.
The Zapster. My whole vibe is kind of untrustworthy babysitter. You know,
really? Like,
that's what you're going for?
Is that what you're going for?
Should
right
we
now?
Like leave our kids with her?
Well, on one hand,
we really
want
to go out.
Oh, yeah, definitely you know? Leave them.
Let's get back to the calls here because people, I think, aren't feeling too good about Thursday night. Let's go to Damian Lawrence. Go ahead, Damian.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Ooh. Yeah, the Patriots, we're gonna get blown out. I'm just hoping that the food is good, the wife didn't burn the turkey or the penne, the pork shoulder, because it's gonna get blown out. We cannot score with this team.
Yeah, and Damian, thanks a lot. I know people quickly will point out that they only scored 3 points, you know, against the Cowboys. Well, okay. Well, score 6, score 10, and see how it goes. Like you said, Christian, it's a pretty good offense.
Shouldn't it be?
Three days later, they're going to come out and score another three at home?
I mean, it does, like, okay, we're being the, I feel like we're all, I feel like I'm being an optimist. You're definitely being an optimist.
Yeah, I've turned optimistic.
Quickly. And I would say it's probably more likely that they get blown out. Like, it finally catches up to them, right? You've had played the Jets twice. And then you played Indianapolis. If you play the Colts now with Matt Ryan at quarterback and what's his face running the football?
Jonathan Taylor.
I always forget his name. Jonathan Taylor. And, of course, you know, Jeff Saturday, the intimidating, you know, head coach on the other sideline. I mean, like, I'm sure he's going to outwit you.
If you had
that would
Ryan
not
and
be
Taylor,
a walkover.
It would have been a little more difficult. There's
okay,
no
so I, that's my point. I feel like eventually it's going to catch up to you, right? Like, what we're seeing offensively, like, you've been getting by based on who you were playing.
It's been the same game plan.
Every single time.
And even the Detroit game, you look and say it's a 29-0 blowout. If you go back and watch that game, it was the same game plan as this one. As we've seen the last 3 weeks, offensively, let's not go crazy. Let's not take any risks. Our defense can win it. Eventually, they're going to put you in a position to score with a short field. Like, it's been the same thing for weeks. I don't think you'd have that approach. So that's why I'm curious to see what it really looks like offensively. Like, I want to see if they can put up points. Let's go to Matt in Hyde Park. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, pal.
Hey, listen, I don't know why people think that the Patriots' offense is just going to hit this miraculous switch and they're going to score more than one touchdown. I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I think the dome sound and the noise is going to affect them. I just don't see it. I just do not see it. And I think Minnesota's defense, you're underranking their defense, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be all over Mac Jones like a bad habit. You know what I mean? I just think, I mean, you see Mac Jones, he likes to, like, fold up when the pressure comes around him. I don't think he's going to have a chance.
Well, I'll say this, Matt. I don't know if it's certainly not the same defense you just played in the Jets and maybe not even the Colts. But show me what the offensive line looks like.
You know?
Who's out there? You
Lou,
know?
Are your family members calling
into
the show?
Every single one is
like,
calling
honestly,
in.
It sounds like everybody's calling in from, like, Tuscany or Rome.
Yeah, that's what
it?
They... Like, I feel like this last one was Positano.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, yeah, what's going on? Hey,
Lou,
buddy?
I'm listening to the app over here in Positano. Thinking, hey,
we got any more Paisans on hold here?
How
what
the
we got?
Patriots going to be against this dome team?
Don't you? That means it's inside, right, Lou?
Say, how you play under a roof, Lou?
It ain't gonna rain. Oh!
Drop a can of field over there.
Oh!
Any more
Every
of my relatives?
Single one of his relatives.
Let's see. Like, we got Mike in Marshfield. On? I don't know. Mike, what do we got? You Paisan?
Hey, Lou, how you doing?
Good, pal.
Hey, Mago, Christian, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh!
I just want to call in real quickly. I've been watching these Patriots. This line is so decimated. They got to go back to the old ways, the old short,
the old Italian
runs,
ways.
The quick hits,
like the old
short passes over the middle.
Yeah,
they don't have time.
Family values.
Mac can't do it 3 to 4 seconds with this line. He's getting killed. Yep. They got to go back to the quick Weiss, McDaniels, even O'Brien, over the middle, quick hits. With these two backs, you can't lose.
Yeah. Send them a
with
message.
That line,
yeah.
With that line.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks, Mike, for Marshfield.
We do it.
Thanks, Uncle Mike.
Appreciate it.
Didn't it look like they were trying to move back towards that a little bit on Sunday?
Oh,
like,
well, Mike, to the old days.
The stupid offense? 50-50 really? Shots downfield to Devontae.
We won Super Bowls with a dick in the dunk kind of throws.
I got to bring that back. Got to bring that back.
The dink and
gotta
the dunk.
Got to bring that back. Yeah, got to get rid of the football. Got to get rid of the football. Because offensively, like, I don't know, I'm amazed. I wonder if you got Tommy Curran real quick, because he came up with another stat talking about this offense.
This one really illustrates
And it just kind of shows you where this offense is, where it has been recently. This is Tommy Curran with Gresham Keefe earlier. If we got it. Do you have? You can't hear me right now.
I wasn't listening.
Oh, you can't hear me. Okay, Tommy Curran.
One more time.
Tommy Curran talking about where this offense is, some of that amazing stat that we had.
Right.
The Patriots had 64 drives this season get to the 50 or better. They have 186 points. So that's less than 3 points per drive. They've been they've 25 times in the past four games, they've been to the 50 or better. They have 4 touchdowns and 10 field goals. That's insanely inept.
That is really bad. like when you think about it, like we're talking about the red zone problems, but getting past the 50s, when you start thinking about it, especially, you know, we're getting points. So 25 times in the last four games, you've gotten past the 50, and you've only got four touchdowns out of it. And one of those, again, was a fake punt where you got the ball at the two. And 10 field goals. Like, they can't get to the red zone.
I mean,
when they do
punt.
Get to the red zone, they, the block punt.
Yeah.
You can't get to the red zone where you're one of the worst in football. And even when you do, you don't score. I mean, that was pretty bad numbers.
It's funny. You just made me think of something. I think they're due for a fake punt.
Oh, my God.
I just was like, wow, this is how you beat them.
Trickery?
Yes.
I don't know. They haven't thrown any. Have we seen a trick play?
It's so funny. Like, hey, here's
the Nelson Agholor was the lead blocker.
Okay. No, that was
seen
a joke.
This coming.
That was a joke, but it wasn't a trick play.
I got an idea, Matt. I was just thinking about this. Let's act like we're going to run and then pass.
What?
They'll think run, and then what we'll do is we'll call it a bootleg. We'll run away from all the blitzing linebackers. What if it's man? We can't run it versus man. You know, let's do it anyways, and then we'll trick them. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
We're going to put Brandon Schooler out in the flat.
Yeah, we'll do some really kooky
Pilardi
thing. They'll go, what's going on?
The fact some of those numbers are that bad as far as this offense scoring points. And we were talking about this earlier. The New England Patriots, the average drive where the average drive starts, they are number one in football. Number one in the NFL at their own 32. The best starting field position on drives in the league. At 32 yard line.
Yeah.
Like, and it's they're right up there with teams like, you know, the Ravens and the Bills and the Lions and the Bengals and Minnesota. Like, and they, I think they're 29th in average plays per drive at 5.5. So they start the best field position in football, and they're 29th in how many plays they actually get. They do nothing with it.
They barely get there.
There's
they
no
can't
compliment
convert
with
to a first down.
And
so then
teams.
they just kick a field goal.
And it's
That's
so
all
frustrating.
It is
amazing because they basically handicap. Say, listen, we know that you can't move the offense, so we're going to give you a head start.
We know that you know that
yeah.
I know.
Yeah, so you're going to have the best starting position out of any team in the NFL. You're going to start on the 32-yard line. And because we just feel like, you know, if you – The thing, though, with this team is I always feel like if they cross the 50, they're like a first down away from having an opportunity
to get
to
the 50, 35-yard line. Nick Folk, close to it. 30 to 35. We can just get points.
That's all we need.
3 points at a time.
That's it. Well, forget about touchdowns. Touchdowns are overrated. Let's make it hard on ourselves. Let's kick field goals. Let's settle. That's an idea. Let's almost get there and say, it's not worth it. And kick a field goal. Let's not try. Let's throw in the towel. It's just.
But that can't be the philosophy this week, right? That can't be the philosophy Thursday night. Like, if you're at the 30-35, it's like, hey, let's not go crazy. Well, you know, let's just take the 3 points and get out of here. Like, how long can you do that against Minnesota or Buffalo or Cincinnati or Miami or Arizona? You know, how long can you do that?
See, I would say you're going to have to keep doing it because I think the fourth down, let's go for it philosophy is going to be changed this week. I don't think you actually had any faith that the New York Jets could move the ball, so you were willing to risk it. Mm-hmm. You were willing to go for it on fourth down because you had no faith that they could move the ball. So you're like, screw it. What's the risk here? They can't get a first down, and they couldn't, and they won't because they couldn't move the football anyway. So you not against this team. Like, your fourth down opportunities, they need to be really calculated. They have to come at the right time, and you damn sure better have a better play than what you ran last week
on fourth and three.
With Nelson Agholor as your point of attack lead blocker. Yeah, that's the guy I'm sending out to the front line. Whoa, boy, I tell you what, they're going to be intimidated by him.
Let's go one more call. Let's go to Raphael, who's in Belmont.
Oh,
go ahead, Raphael.
He's definitely a cousin of Lou.
Raphael, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys, how you doing there? Nice show. I love the show. Guys, I have to say something. Like, last night, I'm watching the game. I'm watching the 49ers play. And the only one thing I have in my mind, this guy, Jimmy G, going to be our starting quarterback next year. I can see he's going to be a free agent, 3 years, $100 million guarantee. I think Bill going to bring him back and get our destiny back and win 2 Super Bowls with him. Because I believe this year he's going to win a Super Bowl, but he's not going to stay with 49ers because they mistreated him. He's going to come back to Papa. And he's
back
gonna
to Papa.
Man.
I love
right,
it.
Thanks,
the old man is Super Bowl.
All right,
you know
thanks,
what?
Raphael.
A couple years ago, I wouldn't have said that Raphael was very far off. Like, I do think that that Bill always looked at Jimmy as like the one who got away. But stuff has changed in the past couple of years, and now I think they've grown in different directions, and I just don't see it as a starter.
Jimmy G would look just like Mac here right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want Jimmy G. I want their offensive coaches.
Exactly.
That's who I want from San Fran.
Like,
I don't want
Jimmy. You're lusting after the wrong guy, Rafael. Yeah.
Ryan, what do you got?
Yeah, I just looked into something. Christian, a couple minutes ago, said that the Patriots are due for a fake punt, and I kind of giggled. Well, I looked it up. Michael Pilardi, who is probably going to be the punter going forward, has converted one fake punt. It was a 12-yard pass where he underthrew DeAndre White. However, they did convert a 4th-and-10 fake punt.
Wow. When
Michael Pilardi. This was 2019 when he was with the Panthers.
These are the things you need to worry about. Listen, if you're going to beat this team, if you're going to beat,
steal
if you're going to win, well, no, but I mean, it can't just be a possession. It needs to be a touchdown. God forbid you get the first down off the fake punt, but then you end up punting anyways.
it looked like
we did it. Yeah. All right, we got a punt again.
The pass looked like that Bailey Zappi Monday night where I think it was Myers had to come back 4 yards and then roll into the end zone. It was kind of like that. So he doesn't have the greatest arm strength, but it can be done.
Yeah, don't you think that they need to play desperate? I feel like they need, in this game, you're not supposed to win anyways. It's really the odds are against you. So play desperate. Call a desperate game.
I think you see how the first quarter goes.
Are you going to tip your toe in the water? I say, can the ball in.
He still wants to win a certain way. And if it starts like opening up a little bit and go down and score a field goal, you're like, all right, right on pace. And then they come down and score a touchdown. You're like, oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know if there's enough trust in the offense to play desperate. They can't play free at all.
Just let it fly. Just grip it and rip it. You think anything good will happen from that?
All right, coming up next, we got we have an apology of the day, by the way, along with last call. We'll do it all. It's next. All right, listen, before we get the last call, we have an apology of the day.
Why do we apologize to Boston sports fans or sports fans anyway? They should be apologizing to us.
Sorry to put you through it.
Sorry.
I have boobs. Sorry.
I know, Danielle. I'm sorry.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Sorry, my microphone went out there, Coach.
I apologize.
We recorded an interview. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that again.
Sorry. But that's...
All right, so this happened on Saturday. It was during SEC's halftime show. Peter Burns, ESPN, was part of the show with Chris Doering, Takeo Spikes, and Benjamin Watson, old friend of the show, Benjamin Watson. And this is what it sounded like at halftime.
45-20. By the way, did you not get the memo on the suits? We all went dark today. You're like Easter service.
Y'all kind of leave me out. As long as I get the text from my wife that says I look good.
Oh, really? Right.
Send me the text, babe. Send me the text.
It's not the one she sent me.
Outdoors.
Commercial
for live TV.
13-6.
Live TV.
Keep the man on the toes. Welcome back to the Farm Rich Halftime Report. Just you and I here, Takeo. Not sure what happened to Peter Burns, or did you have him keep your wife's name out of his mouth?
Huh?
we'll see how Peter Burns is with that smart mouth in the second half, but Gators do not get much going in the first half.
So Benjamin Watson, when they come back from break, it's just Chris Doering and Takeo Spikes, and Benjamin Watson, while they're on live TV, comes walking behind them. And just sits down and puts his phone down and just sit, and he is pissed. No Peter Burns, who cracked the joke about his wife texting him. No Peter Burns at all.
I thought it was a bit when I saw it.
Like, well, somebody from ESPN.
I saw it online right after it happened.
A rep from ESPN came out and said that it was a bit and that Benjamin Watson deserves an Emmy. But
I don't damage control.
Yeah,
I don't believe it at all.
I don't believe it was.
You have a live TV show. You're doing updates. You're doing halftime reports. You're doing a whole... breakdown of every game in the SEC, and then you're going to come back from a commercial with no host because Chris Doering is just an analyst. Takeo Spikes is another analyst. And Ben Watson, you're just going to that's the bit?
These guys are known for their comedic chops.
That's what they do. I've watched that show before.
You've seen the video, too. Ben Watson is pissed.
He is not happy.
Last night, Peter Burns from ESPN, the one that cracked a joke about the text that he received from Ben Watson's wife, he tweeted out, while it was a joke, the truth is that I crossed the line. You should never joke about family, so that I owe a public apology to Ben and Kirsten 100%. At Benjamin S. Watson, couldn't have handled it better with his humor and class. We are all good and proud to call him a friend and a coworker. Oh, so there's your little.
So he was. It was all a bit, but so then why are you apologizing? If it's a bit, then why are we really apologizing?
The Andy Kaufman. You never give up the bit. You never let him see behind the curtain.
Obviously not a bit.
No, this is. I really think Peter Burns thought that him and Ben Watson have a very different relationship than Ben Watson seems to think. And we can joke like that, can't we? We're boys. Nope.
And some people are just different. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Obviously, Ben Watson. You know, the upset him very much. If you were on set and someone said that to you, would you?
Well, it would depend. To Ryan's point, though, it depends on who it would be. My wife's got a really good sense of humor. So, but if it was like you or like Mego, you know, it'd be fine. And it would be a joke,
right? That's what I mean.
Now I know what we're doing.
If
I
don't
know
those four, me.
You think those four ever aired their grievances?
Yeah, I know. Maybe if they hadn't aired their grievances, Shockan's right.
They should
maybe
do that live.
Could have helped. But I don't know. I just heard that, and I'm like, I'm thinking, like, come on, if I was on set, I guess you're right. It depends on who says it. Like, if you had said something about that, I would just I would laugh.
It is. Like, they're not, like, really good friends.
Right.
Right? Because it's like, dude, we are not like that. You don't know me that well.
Disrespecting my wife.
Yeah.
Disrespecting me, and it'd be like,
as long as I get a text from my wife that says I look good.
Oh, really?
So send me the text, babe. Send me the text.
It's not the one she sent me.
That is 100% like what you would do. Like, you go back and forth in the locker room, like anywhere, and not here, never here. Workplace environment is very important.
Well,
to keep everybody safe
here.
And
we never
clean.
Do that here ever.
And even if it was a bit, just like the scheming behind. Okay, this is gonna be really funny. Okay, I'm gonna bring up that I'm wearing a different suit today. Oh, that's really good. That's really good. And then I'm gonna bring up a text from
it's
my
impossible.
Wife. And I'm the producer going, guys, this is stupid. We're doing a Vanderbilt Florida State game. Can we just read the stats? Read the sponsors. Hit the commercials, please.
Or it's just like Ben. I know it doesn't bother you at all, but let's pretend you're pissed. Both you guys leave.
Oh, that's
set.
Brilliant.
You come
that's
in.
Brilliant,
act
Peter
pissed
Burns.
Off. And just sit down. And then, Peter, you send out a text at night saying you're sorry.
Oh, oh that's really good. And then, oh, somebody get a pen.
Wait, so we're not going to talk about Ray Davis Jr. running the football for Vandy?
No. And then when we come back from the commercial, Ben, you walk back late, and I'm going to stay back here. And then we're really going to make it seem like we are actually in a fight.
Yeah. I think really want to play it off, he should have just left for the night and never came back.
Yeah, done. Thanks for coming.
See you how to do this.
It does make me wonder, is Gresh talking to you?
Why?
After your whole costume fiasco.
What do you mean?
Because I'm thinking about the last time we had a major blow up in studio.
Oh, Halloween.
Oh, that was real.
And
he was very upset.
During the costume Friday that you screwed over the
No, I did not.
I don't know if you saw this. Christian declared.
I saw him wearing the costume.
He declared a costume contest for the whole station.
Hold on, wait. That's not
and
true.
And then he didn't dress up.
No. I asked if everybody wanted to do
it. I saw him wearing a marshmallow.
He's such a liar.
No, that was Gresh's.
That was Gresh's.
Gresh and Keith came in completely decked out.
First person you can't trust on the show. That woman over there.
That woman?
Courtney? Oh, Megan. Yeah.
That woman over
there.
So
what happened then for you?
Listen, I
Gresh
brought it up.
Them out
they
on
couldn't
air.
Listen. They couldn't do it. They were at Gillette the next day. There's no way we could all at the same time have a costume contest.
We were gonna do it on Friday
because and Greg wasn't doing it on Friday. They were in studio. They were gonna do it on Monday. They had to do it on Friday. So I said no.
Fourier
and then you
texted
said
all
you
of us
somewhere.
It's like forget it. Who cares?
Oh my god, that was such a Lou thing.
He texted
such
our
a Lou thing
and was like, nah. I'm like, what are we doing here? Because I don't have a costume on point. Are we doing this or not? Nah.
Okay. Oh, I threw my back out. Oh, I slipped this morning while I was walking out of my 9,000 square foot house.
That was the other thing.
It always comes down to like how big your house is.
No, that was the other thing. That Fourier said he hurt his back so he couldn't dress up. I had to go to the doctor. I hurt my back. I couldn't dress up.
I was at the doctor's. That's all true. I haven't lied once.
All right.
I did not do a group message. I sent a message to you.
You talked to all of us. Keith knew what was going on. Okay, so he was doing it in.
But again, Dress is the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man berating you.
That was
while he's fixing his mask
was
the entire time.
Yanger was absolutely 100% real with Andy Gresh.
The fact that he was doing it with that costume.
Oh, that was great. Seeing pissed off Gresh.
So wait a second. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Gresh took that costume off and then you put it on?
Yeah, it was like part of my punishment.
It was
all smelly.
Exactly.
Oh my God. So smelly.
He wore it all through his own show.
We got to get to this. We got to get the last call. Last
I go all for you. You're going to lose. And I got a ha ha. I threw my back out earlier today and I didn't even dress.
Okay, that's not true either. That's all a lie. It's amazing how many people exaggerate on at this station.
Last call brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. You donate today, your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. We'll give them a call at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. 10-year reunion today. Yeah. 10 years ago today, this happened with Mark Sanchez and the New York Jets.
Well, years ago, we talked to Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here, and then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people, forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
The butt fumble 10 years ago.
Little trivia. Do you guys remember which member of the Patriots defense recovered the ball for the touchdown?
I do, but I can't remember his name now.
Vrabel.
No, it's not Vrabel.
McGinnis.
He was chasing the guy. Hightower. Vrabel was chasing. No, it was not a linebacker. It was a defensive back, number 20-something.
He was the safety, yes.
Yeah, who was it?
It was Stephen Gregory.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
That's
good trivia.
Never
would have remembered that. That's a good trivia question,
good
though.
Good trivia question.
Excellent trivia question.
10 years ago today, the butt fumble.
There
what a great memory. All right, Mutt's got you covered.
Yeah, he does.
He's got you all the way up there, Mutt at Night. We got nothing going. No,
big day tomorrow.
Monday Night Football. What do you got tomorrow?
Well, it's like we're going to give thanks. We're all going to do what I usually do. I don't know what you do when you're Italian. Oh, yo, Louie, I'm thankful for you.
Hey, here's his seven fishes.
It's Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Happy holidays from Rome.
You two paisans over here, Foria and Orellini.
Happy Thanksgiving from Positano.
That's good. Dan Orlovsky will join us tomorrow. We get his thoughts on...
Don't you throw a little something for your honey over here. Bada-bing.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Oh, my God. We'll talk seven fishes there tomorrow.
I said, you guys have the tip.
Thank you, Joe.
I said, yeah, we had a tip. I said, oh.
Thank you, buddy. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Much got you covered here. Coming up next, it's Mud at Night. We'll see you tomorrow, too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.